Well, the Warriors are re-airing classic games showcasing the rise of Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. Now through June 5th, we're turning back the clock to bring you Warriors Archives, the making of a champion. It's presented by HPE. It's live on Facebook. Go to warriors.com for the full schedule. I'm Tim Roy, and to help me right now to throw off some of the demons of yesteryear and the cloak of San Antonio, Marcus Thompson, longtime Bay Area scribe and author, has joined us here. We're going back to May 8th, 2013, and to kind of set the stage, the Warriors had made the playoffs for the first time since 2007, first time since we believe. They had beaten Denver in the first round in a series that had future ramifications, with player personnel and so on and so forth. And then they go to San Antonio. And everybody kind of, you can see the collective shoulders of Dub Nation drop because the Warriors don't win in San Antonio, literally. Their last win there had been back in 1997. And Marcus, to set up game two, just a quick thought on game one, because the Warriors probably should have won game one.
No, there's no probably. They should have won game one. They were up by 18 points in the fourth quarter, if I remember correctly. And it was a trip, too, because they had come off this incredible upset series in Denver. Like, they were riding high like a Warriors team hadn't ridden since we believe, right? So we look at that 6 years. And they go against San Antonio, and it's like, yeah, they have no chance. And they go in there, and they really, like, they land a haymaker. Steph Curry lands a haymaker on the Spurs. And then there's that moment where they start coming back, and they – figure out what to do with Steph. You just see it slowly building, and it's like, uh-oh, that's right. They never win in San Antonio. So for them to end up losing that game in overtime, it felt like the world had been set back in order, right? Like, this is exactly how it was supposed to be. And the Warriors are cute, they're fun, but in the end, like, they're not ready for this. They're not on this level, and of course they're not going to beat the Spurs. So going into game two, I'll tell you what's interesting about this. I remember having a very specific conversation with Mark Jackson, and I said to him, I said, I wouldn't be surprised if y'all won game two. And he lit up. He was like, oh, no, we're going to win game two. We got them right where we want them. And it was just like, it was crazy for him to think that, you know, this is the same dude in the previous series who said they had the greatest shooting backcourt of all time and caused a big controversy, right? After game two against Denver, he said that. And at the time, it was a big controversy. He obviously proved to be right. At the time, it was like, man, this dude is just saying stuff. So Mark Jackson has this knack for saying, he's like, oh, we got them right where we want them. We figured out how we want to attack them. So going into game two, they was probably even more confident because They saw how it worked, and the rest of the world was like, yeah, the world is back in order. The Warriors are going to lose it.
Yeah, a lot of people thought that after game one, this is going to be a short series, but Klay Thompson had other things in mind, and the start of game two, he was red hot. He would finish with 29 in the first half. He and Steph Curry combined for 23 of the 28 points in the first quarter. And then Klay has an incredible second quarter with 17. He was 5 of 6 from 3 in the second quarter. And Marcus, the Warriors at halftime are leading by 19 again. That's back-to-back games in San Antonio where they had leads of over, you know, 15. That's unheard of.
The insane part about this is Steph had just lit them up for 44 in game one, right? He had just dominated them, and they had to tweak their plan. And they, you know, the trap steps slow him down. And so they're going into game two, like, we've figured this team out, right? We got the head of the snake. We figured this team out. And Klay goes and does this, right?
Right.
It was the first time we saw, well, not really the first time, but the first time against a really good team where you saw this whole pick your poison thing is pretty deadly, right? Because he couldn't be stopped. And the fact that he took 10 first quarter shots was something to marvel at, because Klay, he just didn't get them up at that rate like that. So he came out of the gate gunning. I'm shooting. And part of it was because how they were playing the Warriors and how they were, like, really trying to take away Steph. But that they became a 1-2 punch that scared the hell out of Popovich. You know, so that was the crazy part. I remember, like, oh man, what are you gonna do? And keep in mind, like, if you're listening to this, you are of the paradigm that this is normal for two guys to shoot like this, right?
Yeah.
This is what we've seen for so long. In 2013, this was not normal. Like, this was ground-shattering stuff. Steph just lit them up for 44, and they doubled him to take him away, and now Clay puts on another shooting clinic. It was surreal, and that Warriors team had, like, this weird kind of psychology where they kind of fueled, they were fueled by doubt. You know, they, whenever it felt like they were out, that's when they were at their best. And it was part of Mark Jackson's genius as a coach, how he got into their psychology. But it was almost like, hey, everything was down, it was all over, and they got comfortable and relaxed and responded. And they did the same thing in Denver. Remember, they lost game one.
Should have won that
David
one.
David Lee got hurt.
Yep.
David Lee gets hurt. He's out for the season, at least we thought at the time it was for the season. They were supposed to be done that series. And then they go and win game two. So this was becoming their MO. Like, just when you think they're out, they're not. And they hit San Antonio with another headmaker. And this time it was Klay Thompson.
Now we're spoiled now, because when the Warriors get to the playoffs, we expect them to win on the road. This was the Warriors' first road win in a playoff series in over two decades. Now, granted, they hadn't been in the playoffs only a couple of times, but still, they had gone 30 games in San Antonio without a win. They had never beaten Tim Duncan in San Antonio, ever. And they win this one. So I went back and looked up the last Warrior win. So get yourself ready for this. February 14th, Valentine's Day, 1997. Yeah. Sprewell had Latrell Sprewell, 32 points. My main guy, Felton Spencer, pulled down 11 rebounds. Bimbo Coles, Mark Price came off the bench. Ray Owes got into that game for the Warriors. But listen to this.
Wow.
Listen to the starting five for the Spurs that night. Greg Cadillac Anderson, Avery Johnson, Vernon Maxwell, Carl Herrera, and Monty Williams.
Jeez.
Their leading scorer was Dominique Wilkins, who came off the bench and had 22.
What was going on with the Spurs at the time?
Well, David Robinson.
Was David Robinson hurt?
Yeah, David Robinson got hurt, so they tanked. Greg Popovich took over as coach. That was his first year. He fired Bob Hill. And they just basically said, we're playing for the number one pick. But the really interesting thing is, when I look at the box score, is that there are six players who were at that game who were either now or in the past have been head coaches, either at the pro or college level. Vinny Del Negro came off the bench for San Antonio. Monty Williams, of course, started. Avery Johnson started. They're all have been or were head coaches. Donyell Marshall's a head coach. Mark Price was a head coach. And Chris Mullin was a head coach. So interesting, they had that much coaching future, but
a lot of coaching. Yeah,
yeah. So, but getting back to the game that we're chatting about, May 8th, 2013, and in the playoffs, if we could have had the crystal ball to look in the future, do you think that first half against a good defensive team, if not a great defensive team in San Antonio, that maybe we could have predicted a couple of the Clay type games that have come in the last, you know, 6 years from watching him work that way in the first half against the Spurs?
No question. It was also the same demeanor, right? Like, unflappable, unaffected. He even, like, reacted even less back then. Like, now he'll give you a fist bump or he'll yell. Back then, he was barely even doing that, right? It was just so matter of fact that he was a great shooter and he was going to knock him down. That's what really kind of stood out, and it was that mindset, right? Like, that's what the Warriors were developing back then. The against the odds, like, you don't believe in us, like, we're going to figure out a way to pull this off even though you don't believe in us, right? Like, they kind of thrived in that. And what was critical, another element about this game, especially when you link it off the previous game, the big part about game one, the thing that really changed the game was Clay fouled out.
Yep.
And up until that point, he had Tony Parker struggling. Clay fouled out. Tony Parker gets going in the fourth quarter, and somehow the Spurs find it. So Clay got in trouble from his daddy, right? Like, his daddy's like, you know, hey, you got to stop getting those first quarter fouls. You got to stop getting those ticky-tack early first quarter fouls. I've been telling you that, and it hurts you. There was a part of Clay that felt like game one was on him, right? Like, if he stays in that game, if they could throw Tony Parker, then, you know, perhaps, you know, they win that game. I'm sure he's thinking that, because I think Tony Parker had a good, like, 8 or 10 points in the fourth quarter. He got going, but he was really struggling before that. So for him to say, last game was on me, I know they're taking away Steph. I know y'all don't believe in us. I know we're in a stadium we've never won in his lifetime. I mean, Clay was probably, what, 7?
Yeah.
8? It's like he's never even seen it. And against a team that, you know, was a championship caliber team that ended up going to the finals, for him to respond this way in that setting, not with a good game, Tim, with an explosion,
yeah.
Right? With, like, I mean, the Nets weren't moving on some of those shots. It was crazy. He had no chance of missing. Like, that's how he was going. It was like, it was definitely a precursor that I, even in all my wisdom and prophecy, I still didn't see it coming in, right? And I thought, I'm like, yeah, of course. But at the time, it was like, oh, yeah, Clay got hot. That's crazy.
34 for Clay, 8 of 9 from 3. He had 14 rebounds in that game. And if you look at Tony Parker's night, Parker was 7 of 17 from the field. Curry would add 22. Warriors win 100-91. And it was a game that was really never in doubt. They only trailed for 137 seconds. And the lead was never lower than 6 in the fourth quarter. So they controlled that game. And that was maybe the first sign of the Warriors becoming championship-like, was Game 2 in San Antonio, and going against the gold standard of the NBA and giving them a hard time. Marcus Thompson, always a pleasure to talk some ball with you. I hope you and your family continue to be safe, and wish you nothing but the best, and hopefully we'll be talking about a current game sometime here in the near future.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Tim. Maybe I'll see you in the Orlando bubble. Yeah, I probably won't see you in the Orlando bubble.
I'm already in a bubble.
We're all in a bubble, right?
Yeah, exactly. The Warriors are re-airing classic games showcasing the rise of Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. Now through June 5th, we're turning back the clock to bring you Warriors Archive, The Making of a Champion, presented by HPE. It's live on Facebook. Go to Warriors.com for the full schedule. I'm Tim Roy, and this is Warrior Sound.